everybody. I hope everybody can hear me. I hope everybody is up and ready for a good word this morning. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody in Philadelphia, in New Jersey, in Delaware, to all our friends that are joining in California and Nevada and other locations. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Amen. We are located in West Philadelphia, and our pastor is Jonathan Ford. And we all welcome you this day. And one of the things that I want to say is, as we are meeting remotely this day, is as I'm going through and setting up all this equipment, I'm just thinking in my mind, and this is not in the scripture, but it's in my mind that God has said, despite all that is going on in this world, I'm going to make a way for my people to hear my word. And he has done that for us this morning as we are able to come in remotely and hear the preached word, which will be delivered by our pastor this morning. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to open up this morning's service with prayer, and then I will read scripture. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 26. And then after that, I'm going to move out of the way for the word that has been prepared for us. So if we could all focus on the Lord. Christ Jesus, thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to make it to see the start of a new year. We thank you, Lord, for you have watched over us. You've protected us. You've kept us safe. Lord, we ask that you would equip us that in this year we would witness to others, because despite all that is going on in this world, the true story, the true goal is to be with you, Christ Jesus. So Lord, as long as we are here, equip us with your word, strengthen our bodies, give us an ear to hear and an eye to see those who you want us to go to witness to your glory, that we would serve you so that every moment we have in this life, we would devote it to you. Lord, forgive us where we have come up short and help our unbelief. But starting this day, Lord Jesus, and going forward throughout this year, please equip us to witness to your glory and to spread your word, and to have our faith increased. We thank you, Christ Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Now I'm going to read for you our scripture for today. It's in Matthew. It's going to be verses 26 through 29. It's familiar, but it's not from where we normally read for our communion Sunday. Matthew 26:26 says as follows, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Amen, amen, amen. So let's prepare our hearts and minds. Our pastor is going to be coming before us. He's going to talk about communion. Amen, amen. With that, I am stepping out of the way so that you may hear your pastor, Pastor Jonathan Ford.
Welcome to another new year, and we thank God that we have made it to another new year. We thank God for another first Sunday, whereby we come together in our tradition, within our church, to celebrate communion. And so for the coming weeks, that is what we're going to be doing, talking about communion. But before we do, I'm going to open with a word of prayer myself. Thank Deacon Todd for his opening prayer. Let me ask you again to bow your heads for a moment of prayer, and then we'll move forward to the Word of God. Our Father, we have passed the threshold of another year. We realize how miserably we have failed to attain the goal which we set before ourselves over a year ago. So we pray now, help us, O God, to press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus the Lord in this coming year. In spite of our failures over the past year, you have been so patient with us. Thou art so merciful, and indeed thy mercy endures forever. Grant to us in this year the faith to live the life of a Christian. May we seek first your kingdom and all its righteousness. May our highest ambition be to know thee more fully and to follow in thy footsteps. This is our prayer. Amen. What I'm endeavoring to do in these coming weeks is to talk about communion. And at this time of the year, as is customary, traditional, folks are often making New Year's resolutions, setting new goals, new targets, things that they hope to do better or things that they hope to accomplish in the coming year. And in that spirit, the goal that I have for myself, and I hope that you will also share in it so that it can be a goal for our church collectively, is to get communion right. To focus our attention and our efforts in order that we might obey the command of Jesus Christ, not only to keep communion, but to honor communion and what it means to the body of Christ. So that is my goal and purpose over the coming weeks to talk about, to teach on. And in that regard, hopefully you have, I know I have prepared communion. I don't know if you can see it on my screen, but I have my bread and I have the grape juice here. But what I want to do is on each Sunday that we're teaching on communion, I want us to come prepared for communion, meaning prepared inwardly that we fast on the Sunday morning, prepared outwardly in that we keep the sacraments, the bread and the wine. But on each Sunday, we are not going to take communion. Okay? We're going to come prepared for it. We're going to consecrate ourselves. We'll begin the day fasting and in prayer. When we come together this month, it'll be all virtual. We'll still have our sacraments prepared. We'll still have bread and crackers, we'll still have juice and wine, whatever you have set aside to commemorate the Lord's death and his suffering. But we're not going to take communion until we have taught enough about communion to take communion properly. So I hope that sinks in what we're going after, what we're going to try to accomplish. And so in addition to that as we're teaching on communion, communion is also one of the subjects or one of the areas of the Bibles in which there is often much debate and often many questions surrounding communion. And so as we teach on communion over the next couple of weeks, if you have questions about communion, I am going to invite you to email those in, either go to our website and go to the Contact Us page, send me your question directly via our website, or you can put it in the chat on whatever platform you are on, YouTube or Facebook, but I'm going to need someone to assist me in recording those questions or comments and then having them emailed to me, because I want to, during the course of teaching on the subject of communion, try to address any questions or any comments folks may have about communion, okay? So I want it to be a two-way street, okay? So know that as we both today and going forward through the balance of the month, if you have any questions, comments regarding the Lord's Supper or the communion service, feel free to email them directly to me, or if you can, put them in the chat. And again, I'll need some help with those monitoring the chats. Make sure you record those and get them to me. And again, I'll try to address those as we go forward in the coming weeks. Okay? So today, what I want to talk about is the goal of communion. What is the goal, or what is the purpose behind communion? And the goal of communion is unity. Okay? That is the goal, and that is the purpose of the communion service, is to bring about a oneness or a unity in the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay? So that's what we want to talk about. And so, again, Deacon Todd has already kind of read, and what we're doing each Sunday is I've asked that the scripture be the recording of the Lord's Supper from each of the Gospels. So this Sunday you're hearing it from Matthew, next Sunday it'll be Mark, next Sunday you'll hear it out of Luke, then you'll hear it out of John, because each of the Gospels record the Lord's Supper, but obviously they record it from the perspective of that particular disciple. And so I'm going to reread what Todd has already read, and then I'm going to go to the Gospel of John and read out of chapter 17. But again, Matthew 26:26, he said, "And they were eating, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, he blessed and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" And the thing I want to point out in that last verse, Jesus says, "I will not drink from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So Jesus sets the stage for a reunion. Okay? We are to continue with keeping the communion, the Lord's Supper, until such time when we will have it again, but this time it won't be in our respective churches or our respective homes if we're still virtually, but there's coming a day when the church will participate in the communion service again, but this time it'll be in the Father's kingdom. And at that time, we will be reunited with Christ. Okay? Commemorating the Lord's Supper, or what we call the communion service, was a regular and cherished practice in the early church. By it, believers remembered the Savior's death. They celebrated their common salvation and eternal life, which also reflected their perfect spiritual oneness. Okay? By this simple act, Jesus establishes the pattern and process for oneness and unity in the church body. Okay? All through communion. That's what he does. By the simple breaking of bread, the simple drinking of wine, that in so doing, we remember the Savior's death, we celebrate our common salvation. It's common because we all come into the body of Christ the same way, and that is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? And by it, we also receive eternal life. That's where we'll be in the Father's kingdom. And in so doing, this accomplishes a perfect spiritual oneness through in and through all of us. Okay? And what Jesus says and is recorded at the end of Mark is a oneness where we will be together again in our new heavenly bodies. So Jesus is saying, hey, in my earthly body, this is the last time I'm going to celebrate communion or the Lord's Supper with my disciples, but there's coming a day where we will all celebrate it again in the Father's kingdom, and we will all be one. Okay? The goal of communion is unity and oneness. That's important because a lot of people take communion and have no idea why they are taking communion. And I'm not minimizing that fact for anyone. For years, I know growing up, I took communion for one reason and one reason only. They told me I had to take it. When we were young, we came to church, everybody said, look, you got to take it. Take, you know, eat the crackers, drink the wine, and then we just did it out of obedience, not with a genuine understanding of why and on its purpose. And I know the reason why I'm devoting so much time to it this year, at the beginning of the year, I know in my own preaching and teaching, I have not, just reflecting on it, I don't think I have spent enough time teaching on communion. And so we're going to try to make up for it here at the beginning of the year. So you have, now I want you to turn to John 17. The Gospel of John, chapter 17. Now, this is something that when I was studying, you may have gotten it, but it didn't dawn on me until I started preparing. That we get the communion service. He famously says on the same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. We had it. Like I said, it's recorded in all of the Gospels. But we also have that same night that he was betrayed, the same night that he instituted the communion service, Jesus Christ also prayed before going out to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was the meeting place for the betrayal of Jesus. That's where he was bringing the religious police guard to arrest Jesus, because they knew it was his custom to go there for prayer. But before he goes, the same night, so he has communion. If you read in John chapter 13, he talks about the communion service, but John 14, 15, and 16, at that same setting, he teaches them. He teaches about his upcoming death, talks about his resurrection. John 16, he comforts them, you know, trying to prepare them for what they are going to suffer after his death. And then in John chapter 17, he prays. And I want to look at that prayer, but what I want you to get, what I got as I was studying this, I never put the two together. But he prays this prayer on the same night that he institutes the Lord's Supper. It's it's all happening in one setting. Okay? So if you'll turn there, John 17. And here, and if you, now I'm reading out of the King James Version. I got three or four different Bibles going here, but I'm going to read it out of the King James. And it says here, these words spake Jesus. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, so this is occurring. It's the Lord's Supper, communion service. He prays this prayer and he's praying it in the presence and in the hearing of all his disciples. Okay. With the exception being Judas. Judas has already left at this point. Okay? And this is noteworthy because oftentimes when Jesus prayed, he prayed alone. You know, he would get up way before daybreak and get out and be apart by himself. This prayer he prays in their hearing. They are literally hearing him pray to God. Okay? As well as seeing him. So he said, these words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven. He says, Father, the hour is come. Glorify the Son, that the Son also may glorify thee. Okay? The hour is come. The hour is his death. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Okay? He defines what life eternal is to know God as the only true God, and Jesus Christ as the one whom he has sent. So verse 4, he says, I have glorified thee on earth, and I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Okay? He glorified or he honored his Father by doing or being obedient to what the Father asked him to do. Right? He said, I've glorified you because I've done exactly what you've asked me to do, and I will do it because I'm going to the cross. And he says, verse 5, and he says, now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Okay? And I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. And they have kept thy word. Okay? It's Jesus praying. He said, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Okay? He said, now they know anything that I've said and done is because that's what you have asked me to say and do. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Verse 9, I pray for them, right? I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine. Okay? And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Okay? The sharing. Jesus said, they are mine, they're also thine, I am yours, you're me. This whole prayer is about spiritual oneness. Okay? Let's keep working. Now, verse 11 says, and now I am no more in the world. Okay? You're ready to die. Then my ascension is coming. But these are in the world, and I come to thee. So he prays, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, get this, that they may be one as we are. Are you with me? Verse 12, he says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, save the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Reference to Judas Iscariot. Verse 13, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Okay? We suffer persecution just like Christ suffered persecution because what? We are in the world, but not of the world. Don't ever be ashamed of your faith causing you to be different from the, that is by design. Okay? Here it is, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Okay? Notice what he prayed. He didn't say, you know what, since I'm coming up, send them up with me. He said, no. He said, I'm not praying that. Leave them. I'm praying that they stay in the world. One, that's your will. But they need to stay in the world so that they can keep telling my story and message even after I leave the world. Okay? So I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. Protect them. When I was here in the earth, I protected them. But now that I'm leaving and coming back to you, now I need you to send your Holy Spirit that he should protect them while they are in the earth and shield them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Just like you sent me into the world, now I am sending them into the world. We're going to have a reunion, but not yet. I'm sending them back into the world. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Okay? Jesus said, I'm preparing the way. Neither pray I for these alone, referring to his disciples, who are listening to him pray, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Okay? Now you're establishing the totality of the church, because he's praying not just for the 11 who are hearing him prayer and have participated in the Lord's Supper, but he's praying, now he's extending his prayer reach to all believers who will believe in Jesus Christ as a result of their word. Their preached word, their written word, the gospel, however we come about it, first God gave it to his son, Jesus Christ gave it to his disciples, his disciples began to share it, and they shared it not only in their preaching and teaching, but they shared it in their recording, the writing, which now is the word of God, which we now study and believe, right? So neither I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, okay? Now here it is. He's coming. He's in the home stretch. Look how he wraps it up. That they all may be one. Both the 11 disciples, both all of those throughout all the generations who now believe on the gospel as a result of what the original apostles both preached, taught, and recorded in their letters. He said that they all may, this is his prayer, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me and I in thee,
that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Okay? I remind you, the goal of communion is oneness. Okay? This is in his prayer. He prays this at the conclusion of the Lord's Supper, after he has broken bread, after he's passed the wine, after he's comforted them, after he's told them again about his death, as he's encouraged them about his resurrection in 3 days, before they depart to go to the Mount of Olives, he's praying this prayer in their hearing, and he prays this, that they all may be one. Even as the Father is in me and I in thee, that they also may be. So he prays first for oneness among us as believers, right? That they all may be one. Who? The 11 plus all those that are saved by their word, that hear their word. So he first prays for oneness among us, the believers. Then he also prays that all of the believers would also then become united and one with the Father and himself. Okay? That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Okay? Let's keep working. 22, we're almost there. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them. Look what he says now, that they may be one, even as we are one. And again, I'm going to say it, we got to get this. He's praying this prayer at communion. Okay? This is the prayer he prays at the conclusion of the communion service. Father, make them one amongst believers, and then make all of them one with you and I, even as you and I are also one. Okay? The goal of communion is unity. That's the goal. That's the purpose behind the communion service. You got to get this, because if you don't understand that, know that and appreciate, you'll never take communion right. Because you won't know what the goal is, so you won't know what you're aiming for or pointing or trying to accomplish. The goal is oneness. Here it is, verse 23. He said, I am in them and thou in me. Right? He's talking about that oneness again. Get this, verse 23. That they may be made perfect in one. Okay? We only become perfect. We only become what God has created us to be when we become one with each other and in Christ Jesus. Okay? He prays for that. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. The only way we are perfected is when we all become one. Okay? I'm saying something very profound here. I want you to get it. We cannot be perfected unless we are one. Okay? The goal of communion is oneness. Because without that oneness, we can never become perfect in Christ. Are you following me? And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. 24. Father, I will that they also thou hast given me, here it is, he's tying it back to Matthew, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Told you in Matthew, he said, I'm not going to drink, right? Until we drink it anew in my Father's kingdom, right? Right? Now he's praying that prayer. He said, Father, I pray, I'm sending them in the world. I want you to keep them while they're in the world. Because while they're in the world and they strive and fight for unity amongst each other and in us, in Christ, in God, by so doing, they tell the message of Jesus Christ, right? But also they are perfected and become one. And when they become one, he said, Father, I want you to have them be where I am. Now he's already told, again, the Lord's Supper that night, he told them, hey, I'm about to be betrayed. Tells Peter, you're about to deny me three times. It's going down tonight. By this time tomorrow, I'll be hanging on a cross. It's all going down tonight. But though we're getting ready to be separated, I'm praying for the Father that you can be where I am. Not where I am now, but where I'm going. Right? After this, my ascension is coming. I'm going back to heaven. But we won't be separated. I'm praying the Father that we'll what? Be reunited. There's that reunion, that's Matthew, but this time what? In the Father's kingdom, okay? And once again, we'll be what? One. That be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. 25, here it is, we're almost out of it. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. He closes with what? Oneness. That your love, God, your love is in them, and that I also am in them. The goal of communion, the object, the purpose of the Lord's Supper is so that we as believers would be reminded of this prayer, that his sacrifice of his body, that the shedding of his blood for our sins was to all to make us one in Christ Jesus. Okay? And that we should be striving for this and working toward this, that as believers, we can be one. First, with each other, communion, what we have in common, and that is what? The body and blood of Jesus Christ. That's what makes us, because we all come in the same way. We all come in through what? The body of Jesus. We all come in through the shed blood of Jesus, right? We all come through the same door. That's why Jesus said what? Jesus said, I am the door. Isn't that what he said in John? That lead us to green. We all come through the same door. And as we enter in through that same door, it also makes us one, not only with Christ, but one in Christ. And as Christ also dwells in the Father, we now also become one with the Father himself. I want you to turn to this one. 1 Corinthians 10:17. And I think this will put the nail in it and we'll be done. Go to 1 Corinthians 10:17. It says, for we, though many, we, Paul is here referring to the church, though many, meaning many believers, many people, many different types of people, some were Jews, some were Gentiles, some came out of pagan religion, some had no religion, but again, though we are many, different types, different backgrounds, yet, look what he says, are one bread and one body. for we all partake of that one bread. Right? He just got one all over this verse. Though we are many, right? Many, many believers, yet we are one bread, one body, for we all partake of that one bread being Christ Jesus. That's what makes us one. That's what makes us one bread. That's what makes us one body is what? The body and blood of Jesus Christ. The one bread refers to the bread of communion as the symbol of Christ's body given for all who would believe in him. Since we all partake of that body, we are all one in that body. Okay? I'll say it again. This passage in Corinthians, this one bread that Paul speaks about refers to the bread of communion. Bread that you've consecrated and set aside this Sunday morning. The bread of communion. And it is a symbol of Christ's body given for all who believe. And since we all partake of the body, right? When we take the bread, Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body, right? So when we partake of that body, we also become a part of that body. Okay? And now we become all one with Christ Jesus and with each other. Okay? You don't have to go there. I'll just read this one. I see I'm running out of time. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says this, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. The goal of communion and of the Lord's Supper is unity. We are unified in our spirit. One day we will be unified in our resurrected bodies in heaven with Christ, our bridegroom, and we, the bride, the church, and as with any bridegroom and groom, it is at the marriage feast that they are what? United. And the word of God says they become what? One flesh. Okay? That is what he's pushing us towards. Every time we take communion is to remember that he died to make us one with him, to make us one with each other, and to make us one with God. And he accomplishes it through the simple act of the communion service. But we have to come to it with the understanding of what that purpose is. And we can't, unlike me in my childhood, at some point you can't wink at it. Well, I did it ignorantly. That's why we're taking time out now at the beginning of the year to teach and to talk about and work through the communion service so that when we come to it, we come with a full understanding so that what? We can get communion right. Maybe for the first time in our Christian experience that we can come to the Lord's table with a full and clear understanding of what it is the Lord is trying to accomplish in us individually, as well as what he's trying to accomplish in us collectively as the body of Christ. Right? Because we're what? One bread, one body. And one day we'll be reunited with him. And so, again, the goal of communion, unity and oneness, that has to be at the forefront of our mind every time we come around the Lord's table. Not separation, not make what makes us unique, what makes us different. No, what makes us one? What gives us commonality in Christ? What gives us union and fellowship with God himself? The communion service reminds us of that. That is Christ Jesus and his body and his blood that now allows us not only to partake of that bread, but also to become a part of that bread and body. And so as we better understand the communion service, it helps us to avoid what Paul so famously says later in Corinthians, that we don't take of the Lord's body in an unworthy manner. Okay? And you can take communion in an unworthy manner if you don't understand its goal and purpose. Okay? So I thank you once again for your attention and your thoughtful consideration of what has been presented this morning out of the Word of God. And again, I'm just going to conclude by reminding you, we are not taking communion. Just like you, I've set aside juice, I've set aside bread for that purpose, but I don't want to take it too quickly, or I just don't want to take it until I have a good understanding of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And so again, I'm asking you to be prayerful. I'm asking you to be patient with this coming month. Let's just work through the communion service so that when we do take communion, we can take it with a full understanding of the significance and seriousness of handling the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? So the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you until we meet again on next Sunday. God bless you.
Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of three ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. And now for our announcements.
Our announcement for this month is Sunday service will be virtual for the month of January. There will be no in-person service on Sunday. Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. via Google Meet. Friday, January 14th at noon, Alliance of Trust invites you to join us for the third session of our series on the role of sports combating racism and anti-Semitism. Women in sports during our weekend of celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Zoom meeting ID is 830-9271-4587. And at this time, our pastor will join us again for the benediction. Thank you.
Thank you, Cassandra. Thank you, Kennedy. For adding that to our worship service. Appreciate your participation. Thank all of you for being online. And again, I just thank you for your attention, because the subject matter that we're dealing with is of vital importance to the Church of Jesus Christ. And in this new year, if we don't do anything else, we got to get communion right. We have to get communion right. The only way we can do it, we got to go back to the Word of God and see exactly what Jesus had planned and in store for us when he said, take, eat, this is my body. So I'm looking forward to this course of study the whole month. And again, I just want to echo
what was said. We are going to be virtual all month. That is different from what I said in my one call message a few days ago. I thought we were going to go the first couple of weeks, but just had a change of heart. We're going to do it all month. So for all five Sundays in January, we'll be meeting right here online, either on YouTube or the Facebook Live platforms. We ask that you join us. And each Sunday, I want you to come prepared for communion, okay? Start the day out fasting until the end, the conclusion of our service. Come prepared to the service with your consecrated items for communion for you and your family, the juice and the bread. And again, we are just going to be patient. While we're going to prepare for communion, we're not going to take communion until we have an understanding from the Word of God, okay? I think that's everything. Oh, this is what I wanted to say. So glad I wrote it down. The reason we have gone virtual is because, as all of you are aware, the Omicron variant and the increase positive COVID-19 cases is on the rise and increasing rapidly. And so just out of an abundance of caution, instead of opening the church, for which many of us love and would come together and risk infecting one another, we just thought it best, let's just take time away, utilize the virtual platform, and that way folks can stay safe and healthy. Now, with that being said, I'm also encouraging you, if you have not been vaccinated, I am encouraging you to get vaccinated. For those of you that have been vaccinated, I'm encouraging you to get your booster shot. And again, all in an attempt to keep not only ourselves safe, keep ourselves safe and healthy, but at such time when we come together that we can keep each other safe and healthy. Okay? So again, I just wanted to add my voice to that. Stay, please go to the Turning the Tide website. Jemai has the dates up there that through our Love Thy Neighbor campaign, we still have some testing clinics that are coming up that we're doing in partnership with Bethel AME. So there's an opportunity to get tested. We're doing at least one per month, I think through the month of April. There's also other resources available in and around the city of Philadelphia, Southern Jersey, Delaware, all of that. Again, I'm encouraging you to please get tested. And if you have been, not only get tested, get vaccinated. If you have been vaccinated, I'm encouraging you to get boosted as well. Amen. So let's, we'll go ahead and go to the benediction. Just going to ask that you would bow your head and join with me in this closing prayer. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everlasting good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, Taylor Nation. I'll see you Wednesday night, and I'll see you back here next Sunday. Take care.